afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, November the 7th, 2019, and a good Thursday afternoon to, while I get myself situated here, I wasn't quite prepared for this switch. Good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Another great fall day here in Riyadh as we began the day with somewhat cool temperatures and sunny skies that would eventually reach a high of 92 degrees, and that would not hold very long, however, as temperatures quickly receded as the afternoon rolled along. So it was overall just quite a nice, comfortable day, largely in the middle to upper 80s. Now we're currently sitting at 71 degrees at just after 2 o'clock in the morning, and we will be going down to a low of 66 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Winds are currently a variable 9 miles per hour coming to the south-southeast, and that makes for a really nice evening. And I did go out for a short walk somewhere, I don't know, 11:30-ish, and it was actually quite nice. I enjoyed the weather outside. I'm thinking, you know, I should get some jogging shoes and start running again. It was that kind of a nice night tonight. Now, let's be honest, guys and girls. Well, first of all, the new time, you know, we're starting now at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's going to now be ending at 4 o'clock a.m. locally. So I'm thinking maybe we should change the framing or the editorial focus of the show to Saudi local time, and we'll talk about chupacabras and ghosts and other issues that might be haunting the night, because, you know, this is Art Bell time. You know, if you're back in the days of the golden era of radio, heck, that was probably when I really started after my music days of the 70s, I kind of got into Art Bell. I thought Art Bell was kind of a good guy, cool guy, and he was one of the first guys that really started to wake me up to what is going on out there back in the 90s. I actually called the Art Bell show once, got through, and tried to explain to him about, you know, the stalking, the electronic harassment. He'd be, well, why would they be doing that? You know, I could never really explain myself back then. Of course, being under a lot of stress and duress might have been part of the reason why, but boy, have times changed now. We are in a situation where we are in a full-blown war against the powers of intolerance. If we thought it was bad some years ago, wow, has it just been ratcheted up a notch as of late. There was even a story, some scientist, you know, if you put scientists in quotation marks, she had the gall, the audacity to document the fact that polar bear numbers are increasing, and she lost her job because it just doesn't fit this insane narrative. And let's be honest, our propensity for tolerance, really, for those who are totally intolerant of pretty much everyone and everything that is opposed to their rather insidiously sick and twisted world, is turning this world into a dystopian nightmare. And everywhere we turn, really, irrationality, delusion, and downright insanity has risen to command such a position of power from which it begins to throw now down these vindictive, destructive bolts of lightning, these bolts of hatred, really, upon anyone that dares challenge what they must view as their rightful place as gods over humanity. Isn't that kind of how it feels nowadays, that these people in authority, the LGBT, the global homo agenda, the Jewish people in general, especially within the political realm, doesn't it feel as if somehow they believe they have become basically gods over the realm, and if they want to tell you what to think, then by gosh, you better believe what they tell you, even if it's so stupid, like a woman the other day holding up, forcing her child to hold up a sign that says, "Boys have periods and I do too." It's like, how stupidly insane has this world become? You know, what we are witnessing really is the abdication of our planet to the very forces of evil. Yes, evil is one of those four-letter words brought to you essentially, it seems, at least here in the West, by another four-letter word. And that is something that few dare say or utter. And it's the word Jews. Everywhere we see evil, clearly, we find Jews. In fact, Gideon Levy, he's an author for the Jewish periodical Haaretz, he pretty much stated the same thing back in 2016 when he wrote in big bold headlines, "Stop living in denial. Israel is an evil state." And you cannot have an Israel as an evil state unless you have those who populate the state as being evil themselves. So the idea that you can make a claim that Jews are evil, well, it's kind of acknowledged. After all, Gideon Levy said so equally. And if you're just paying attention, of course it is true. And Gideon Levy, he went on to describe some of the ways in which Jews really are evil, and by, you know, of course, by extension, the state of Israel itself. And of course, he reversed it. Israel is evil. And I'm saying, look, you can't have Israel without Jews. So, you know, it's all one and the same. But one case he said, writing here, he said, it's like 1,000 witnesses. And many of us can relate to these types of stories. And in this particular story, it was a case of a guy by the name of Bilal Kayed. He was a very young man who completed a prison term of, get this, 14 and a half years, basically his entire sentence, without a single furlough, nothing allowed to even say goodbye by phone to his dying father at the time. And in this particular culture, guys, this Middle Eastern culture, this is the ultimate form of abuse of a person. You should always at least give these people the right. And if you don't appreciate it, then it's something that you should appreciate. But it's something that is very held dear to these people. So to deny someone that right, knowing the culture, it's pure evil. It is an evil that, quite frankly, is beyond measure and compare. It shows the callous heartlessness of really what is in the Jewish heart. And when we talk about the Jewish heart, we are talking about the state of Israel and all that the state of Israel encompasses, and its diaspora that works so hard to support the state of Israel. And he goes on to say his family waited impatiently for him at the crossing point. And Kayed grew ever more excited because he was supposed to actually be released finally. And at the last second, they just said, "Oh, you know what? Because we're Jews," of course, they didn't say it that way, but basically that's what they said. "Because we're Jews, we're going to put you now into, guess what? Administrative detention. And we're going to hold you for another He was held another 6 months. He went on a hunger strike and was handcuffed to his bed. Lights were not to be turned off. Guards were in his room the entire time. But this is just the nature of just how evil really Jews can be out there. And it's not just Jews, of course. We have within it those who are willing to support this evil entity. And who really can forgive the evangelical Christians who would sell out their own country to serve what is really an evil entity as Israel, or worse, where they view Jews themselves as some embodiment of little gods on earth to whom none may dare criticize. And of course, the thunderbolts of hatred from the Jewish community fly. President Trump, rightly, for the American people, he seeks to expose evil, even as he serves the same evil. Strange how fate can haunt men of conviction with such perfidies, isn't it? In one breath, Trump calls out the lies of the press and how the press is an enemy of the American people. And, oh, this is all well and good and proper and necessary, in fact. Yet, at the same time, this same man, Mr. Trump, will use his office of the president to shout down anti-Semitism equating it almost as some disease that must be eradicated and that we must chase down anti-Semites. Yet, what fool, honestly, what fool out there cannot see that the press and this thing that we call the Jew cannot be separated? For the behavior of the press, after all, isn't that synonymous with what is, quote-unquote, Jewish in this world? And some would argue, no, this fetch, it's just simply not true. But the fact is that we have seen so much crime, so much criminality, corruption, all covered up. And how can we then say somehow that this is not the making of what is inside of the Jewish mind? For instance, the Epstein story.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways.
And did Jews really, did they fire the people responsible for what it was really a running cover for one of the most prolific pedophiles and blackmailers of our time? Of course not. They fired the person responsible for letting this evil out of the closet. And that, quite frankly, to me, sums up what really is this evil that we have a hard time perhaps wrapping our head around. But for better or worse, we use the term Jew. And it's not the Chinese, at least here in America. It's not the Russians. It's not the Germans, of course, are kind of like Jewish now. But you know what? In our countries, the people that are under duress are those being hounded by these same said Jews. And if you really think about it, you know, people, you look at this, and if you're new to this environment and you don't understand what is happening, rather than calling us haters and racists and bigots, have you ever stopped to think that actually we've come to understand something so magnanimous, is that the word I can even use, but so mind-bogglingly evil, sadistic, that we don't do what we do out of hatred. We're not doing it out of spite or bigotry. We're actually doing it because we love our people. We love this planet. We love humanity in general. So for all the seeming hatred you believe you feel emanating from these words or what is within the mind of these words, and if you want or dare to go into the heart of these words, how sadly mistaken you truly are. Because we don't do this out of hatred. It's not we who hate. It is those who want to silence us that are filled with hate. Not because they truly hate, per se, the individual, but they hate the fact that we are a mirror that reflects an image of themselves back upon themselves, and we remind them of the evil that exists within themselves. And so they must crush that which causes discomfort or discomfort to they who can see the evil through our own very words. You know, meanwhile, we go to the UK, and there's a UK pedophile, but he just happens to be Jewish. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, he just happened to be thousands of pictures, over 1,000 indecent pictures of children. And he himself took many of these pictures, abused these little children. And is he going to serve jail time for what he did? Absolutely not. His name, Paul Rosenberg of Roland's Close in Mill Hill, northwest of London. He was a synagogue security guard, and he downloaded more than 1,000 indecent images of children, many of which he apparently took himself. And gee, inexplicably, he's going to avoid jail time. He was again handed a 6-month suspended jail sentence. But imagine, dare criticize this same evil tribe. And the powers of this evil come with their lightning bolts of hatred and spite and vindictiveness and shout it down and throw it down, and you find yourself being banned from France for 40 years. 40 years because you sang a song that actually mirrored the truth about this, excuse my language, bullshit history being put forward by the same Jewish people. So apparently, You can abuse children. You can take thousands of pictures of them in sexually explicit form. And yet, if you, again, dare sing about these same people, you're the evil person. You're the one who suffers. It's Jews who are able to walk free as if nothing happened. Oy vey, I just had an addiction. I just had a porn addiction. And you know, well, it's okay because I'm Jewish and you're not. Isn't that really what Jews are saying here? You know, we live in a world where evil really is being elevated and good itself is being pummeled into submission. Regarding our friend over there in London, his name, Mr. Horsell, told the court, "Oh, Mr. Rosenberg was a member of the tight-knit North London Jewish community. Why didn't you guys say something? Why didn't you do something? You scream and you yell and you lambast us because, oh, why didn't you stop hatred about Jews? Yet here you have one among your own midst. And like little cowards, you cower. Little cowards, you cower." Can I say that? "But you cower and you say nothing. And you allow this criminal evil to exist. And we've come to the conclusion now that Jews themselves embrace evil as simply their strategy for cultural development, for cultural survival. It is itself an evil." And so Mr. Gideon Levy, writing for Haaretz, was correct. Let's face it, Israel, and by extension Jews, are an evil society. And this is the problem we have now amongst us. Everywhere we look now, we find people being harmed simply for speaking out. For instance, someone says, "Oh, it's okay to be white." You would think that's a simple term. Yet you have such, like, "It's okay to be white." And then you find people talking like, "This is despicable. It's utterly unacceptable and disgusting." But it's okay for him to be white or not? Is it okay or is it not? Because now we find Western Connecticut State, it's actually wants to punish those who put this thing out because it's so disgusting and despicable. And all he said was, "It's okay to be white." And we have to ask ourselves, in this great war of simplistic memes and how you got to cut through the matrix, and how Bob Whitaker years ago said diversity is basically chasing down the last white man. And I forget all his memes. Actually, you'd think I would remember them. But, you know, freedom of speech, you know, it should be a civil right, and it is, quite frankly. But even Mr. President John Clark of Western Connecticut State, he doesn't believe in it. He said the University of Kentucky, Connecticut, illegally endangered. Well, no, this is a statement about him saying the University of Connecticut, legally endangered its administrators and police by launching a sweeping investigation to identify and arrest students who shouted the N-word in a parking lot last month. Well, they wanted to prosecute them under Connecticut's antique racial ridicule law. And apparently, well, saying it's okay to be white is itself something that should be punished under the same archaic law. The flyers included unadorned statements, simply, "It's okay to be white." And hey, he goes on to say, "I wanted to assure you that a full-scale police investigation is underway with assistance from the FBI, state police, and municipal police." Are you kidding me? There's a flyer on the street on your campus that says it's okay to be white, and you're going to bring in your police force, the FBI, state police, and municipal police to try to track down. And what are you really telling us? Are you telling us from your vaunted little GD on earth position where you can throw down your lightning bolts that somehow it's not okay to be European American now in a European built America? Is this what is the message that is being told? And really, we must compliment our friends over at 4chan, or at least our co-opposition. I don't know what you want to call them, but you must compliment them really for coming up with this idea, because it's absolutely ingenious. And someone had the thing to say here, okay, these aren't threats. It's not. saying it's okay to be white, it's not a threat. It's certainly not a crime. And they don't say anything controversial. So what this is obviously it's a very clever statement, because if you condemn it's okay to be white, you're saying it's not okay to be white. And it's not okay to say, although blacks are always saying and being encouraged to say Black Lives Matter. So, hey, why is it that it's only white people being attacked here? So if the FBI, John Clark, president of this university in Connecticut, if they actually manage to ruin the lives of students who think it's okay to be white, well, guess what? It's time then for people to understand that you're going to need a homeland of your own. And that's actually something I never was advocating for. And somebody that did, Greg Johnson, he ended up going to Norway just this week, this past week, and he found himself being arrested and basically deported, not deported. And he was, who knows, for what? Who knows? So the point we want to recall now, or just remember everybody, is that we live in this very strange clown world where on one hand we have a president, he complains about how there's a coup being fought against him and he's, you know, the Democrats are trying to stage a coup and reverse the election. Yet this same president, guys, with all due respect, and as Americans, obviously we should be concerned about a coup against the president. But at the same time, this very same president is supporting a non-elected idiot by the name of Guaido, or I think it's Guaido, down in Venezuela. And so consequently, this very same president is working with the same deep state people who are trying to replace him. And yet he's also supporting the takeover of Venezuela through the same underhanded means. And you got to say, you know what, dude, you're stupid. You're just a freaking idiot like everybody else. You want to tell us one hand, oh, you can't be anti-Semitic. And on the other hand, you want to tell us that the media is an enemy of the people. And so are the child pedophile people. But you know what? The 1% ultimately are the enemy of the American people. And if 55 to 70% of the 1% are Jews, and guess what? That makes Jews enemies of the American people. Who funds the politicians who literally go out and create all these laws to enslave everybody and make basically paying taxes for incompetence and corruption in their own countries? It's the Jewish people who brag about how they can buy their politicians, buy everything up, buy the real estate, buy, while everybody else is being thrown out on the street. And yes, America is doing better, they tell me, economically. And I'll tell you, it's a case where, you know, perhaps it's doing well, and perhaps you do certainly need a base out there. But you got to ask yourself, how stupid can this Trump guy really be? Yeah, he doesn't want to lose, quote unquote, to the Democrats. And people will tell me, you know, this is Trump is controlled opposition. And I'm not so sure he's controlled opposition, quite honestly. I've stated previously in previous shows, I truly believe that it's just two factions of Jews fighting this out. And one is using nationalist Americans, the Trump side, to try to maintain their power. And the other side is, quite frankly, would destroy the country completely. And it's just a matter of time, quite frankly, at the rate it's going, that we're going to find ourselves in a situation where you may have something on the streets. We already do have something on the streets. You have Antifa. You had a case just today, in fact. 11 German police, I think in Berlin, were injured, some of them fairly seriously, because the same communists, the same Antifa, the same Jewish sponsored, their money's coming from somewhere, everybody, start running the money. They weren't just throwing milkshakes on the police. They were throwing bricks, very heavy boulders. The boulders are not going to stop, quite frankly, all that riot gear ain't going to stop a super heavy boulder. And 11 people ended up going. Police were actually not necessarily hospitalized, but injured. So you have the right of, let's say, or the rise of the AfD in Germany. We have tinctures. But the nationalism, the problem in America is that far too many of our people simply don't get it. Do enough of us get it? Maybe. I'm not so sure, quite frankly. But you have so many cases now where nationalism is starting to have sparks. And the idea that it's not okay to be white, that anybody can pummel you, can destroy you just because you say, you know what, I'm a European American and I'm okay with that. You know what, I'm okay being a European American. And they think that they can go out and punish that. They can smash you, run you into the ground simply for daring to say such a thing. Well, guess what? We live in an entirely clown world. Really, we live in a world right now where it's almost like we have a drunk carpenter giving a hammer to a chimpanzee in a fine china shop. And that's exactly how these very same people are treating our language. They are trying to twist and turn and break everything. And it's time for us to really sit down and start to push back. And I'm hearing this idea more and more and more that it's time to push back. And we are starting to see that. And this is all a very positive development. We've been saying it probably for 4 or 5 weeks now. The pushback must come because enough is enough is enough is enough. We had some elections, byway elections, or what do you want to call it there? We lost Virginia, for instance. The Republicans lost Virginia. Well, guess what? Because you idiots are not doing anything in power to stop the immigration, and there's nothing in any country that says you must instantly give all of these immigrants the right to vote. They have no franchise ability here. They have no franchise right to this country. Yet people just want to give their country away. And I don't understand that about so many of the American people. They just don't seem to grasp the gravity of what is happening inside of their own country. And you can call them dummy down, lacking passion, but we have a huge base. I mean, Trump has a huge base from which we, within a more nationalist point of view, should be focusing on. Again, you have to understand, they lost Kentucky even. So guys, you're losing major states here. All of this to basically immigration. So we have to really look at what is the problem, and the problem is immigration. It's the Fetch, everybody. Going into our first break, thanks for joining us again inside the iLife Prime Time. Today's date is, I got to go back one day. What is this? November the 7th, 2019. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. All right. We got through the first half hour. That's a good thing. Anyways, welcome, everybody. Good afternoon to all of you listening in the United States again. And good evening, of course, if you're out on the New York Eastern side. From what I heard, you guys are going to get hit with a really bad, tough, cold blast coming over tomorrow. Friday into Saturday. It's going to get some dropping temperatures, 10, 25 degrees below normal for this time of year, some dusting of snow up into New England. So to those of you in the Midwestern parts and then up over, I guess, into the Mid-Atlantic Northeast and even down south, you know, lots of frost warnings, things like that are going to be happening to you tomorrow and the next day. So good luck with all of that. And that's all good. That's all cool. It's wintertime's coming, right? It's just around the corner. Let's see here. You know, I hate when people do that. I really do. You know what I hate about the social media sometimes is, you know, people will post things there, right? And you're expecting social media to be essentially up-to-date stuff. And they'll post things and you're like, oh, really? That's news? And you look at it, and like in this case, the article goes all the way back to 2003. It's like, okay, that's not going to work. So I got to go find a different story here because I heard something. That's 9/14/2018. See, now I can't find the story. Everything here is on the net. It's like going way back in time. Anyways, where was I besides being in Riyadh? You know, here in Riyadh, we have something called Riyadh Seasons, and it's a huge event. I think there's something like 22 different venues. It's running for a few months at a time. And anyways, people are coming. I've gotten two calls from listeners saying, Fetch, we're coming to Riyadh for some work. So that's a huge, we're bringing in a lot of people from the entertainment business here to Riyadh. And so I've had now two calls two, not one, two calls now from people saying, hey, we're coming to Riyadh. We'd love to meet up with you type of stuff. So that is kind of cool. We've got some listeners now coming into Riyadh over the next month to 2 months. And so I'm going to be meeting some of you here. How cool is that, everybody? And you know, it's really easy right now to come to Saudi Arabia. It's not like before. It used to be almost impossible to get here. But nowadays, if you live in some of the Western countries like the United States, Canada, I'm not sure about Canada, quite frankly. Maybe they're blocking the Canadians. They don't like the Canadians here. Like, seriously, certain people don't like the Canadians here. And it's real. Germany, France, you know, Western countries for the most part. I know maybe even some Asian countries, of course, because I heard it's 40 countries. You can get what's called an e-visitors visa, and you can just come. And you can actually come. And it's getting much better, guys. I'm serious. It's getting much, much, much better. If you actually come, you'll have no problem typically with the immigration system. You can pick up a SIM card. It's not going to be the best in the world, but it's going to be decent enough. I've been using it for over a year and a half now. But you can come. This was impossible even a year ago, even 6 months ago. And the country is trying to open up. It's being pushed on them, I know, from some circles. But others, they like it. And we like it, quite frankly, as expatriates. We've been, in my case, I've been in the professional development business here for, what, 5, 6, 7 years. And I have met and tutored and mentored probably over 1,000 people by myself, you know, as far as part of my job function here. So I've mentored people in the Ministry of Tourism, Ministry of Justice, Ministries of Economics and Planning, Ministry of Water, you name it. I've been there. I've done quite a lot here, and I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of the work that we've done here, and I'm really proud to see the development here. Sure, you're not going to go and say things about the royal family that you shouldn't say or Islam that you shouldn't say. But you know what? Jews are the same towards us in our own country, okay? So if Jews want to sit there and use their press media to say things about this country, guys, focus on what Jews are doing to you. Don't worry about this country. They're moving forward. We in the West, because of Jewish power, we're moving backwards. We are stifling innovation. We're stifling freedom of expression. We're stifling our country. Actually, we're in the process of losing our countries because of Jewish dominance and power. I had a guy, he listened to my show because he knows me very well. And he listened to one of my shows. He said, Fetch, you know, knowing you, he said, I listened to your show. Man, your real life person doesn't sound like what comes out over the air. It's like you live a dual life. You have one radio personality and then we know you as this. I said, look, guys, my show is targeting nationalist Americans, national people in the West. I said, if you had the same situation we had in the West, where Jews were in your country, destroying your country, allowing massive immigration so that people like you yourself were going to lose all of your power in your own country, I said, would you be happy with that? He says, well, of course not. I said, so don't expect us to be happy either. It's our country. We built the dang thing. You're working with people like me. You're not working with somebody that just came up from Mexico and thinks that they're, oh, now I'm an American. And they've got all our brain, our intelligence, our DNA, our makeup, our work ethic, and everything else, because it's not going to happen. They get it. See, that's the funny thing about people in Saudi, the really smart ones, they get what I do. They actually get what I do. Guys, they get what I do. They say, you know what? And over here in the Middle East, everybody knows that on a government level, senior government level, Jews control America. They get that. Everybody understands it. Jews control America. So if you're working as a government over here, do you have to work with Jews? Yeah, you do, because Jews run America, and America is a pretty big battleship out there, or aircraft carrier, or whatever you want to call it. So, hey, people got to work with Jews, whether you like it or not. They have to work with it. See, it's up to us. It's up to us to rein in this insanity of the Jewish power base. And that means massive blowback, massive pushback, massive. And it has to come, and it can't come soon enough. Anyways, it's listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to keep the network alive, up and running. Guys, if you can make a donation on behalf of the studio, that's great. Honestly, it's great. If you have a mind, we have some big expenses coming up next week. In fact, we'd like to keep a particular software license that we've been using. And because of the move, we haven't had a whole lot of replenishing going on. And so if you can donate inside the iLive, that would be good too. We have enough to cover it, but it's going to make us very, very short. So we don't want like to go too low. But nonetheless, guys, it takes money to run these things. You know, we're not doing this for free. We're giving our time, effort, you know, our even our own capital into this thing. We are dedicated to serving this movement of awareness. And I am one of these guys that truly believes that what we do is, if it's not dangerous, and it kind of is, depending on how good you get. But it's very important. What we do is really important. It is, at the end of the day, it is really the message that becomes the forward message. And we have been long at the forefront of this, and long, it's been a long time, you know, that we've been doing this type of stuff and creating the ideas that we see showing up in mainstream media. And even if we're not the progenitors of what you see out there, you throw it into the ether, you throw it out into collective consciousness, and it will bounce and rebound in the form of ideas, and it will come to somebody else, and it'll go to somebody else. You can't stop. In some respect, there is a collective mind out there. Once you put the vibration out there, it's going to bounce and reverberate, and it's going to hit somebody, and their antenna is going to pick it up, and they're just going to think of it, and it's going to be their own idea because it came out of the ether, and they're going to run with it, maybe do better than you do with it. And it doesn't matter who's better at this stage. What matters is that we speak with some sense of collective voices out there, even if we want to maintain some level of, autonomy. I think that's a good word, autonomy. And again, we must think in some respects like Jews. They just know what to do. They know, because of their cultural inbreeding, what to do. And we are very smart people ourselves, and we need to take the same thing. We just have to know what to do and do whatever we can based on our capabilities. And I'm not saying go out and do crazy things, but do what is necessary and what you can, because that is what is needed. And that is across the board. Everywhere you want to look, this is what is absolutely needed. So guys, do what you can. That's all you can do, you know. Do what you can. You can't do any more than what you can do. So do what you can. I think that's the best way to put it. And I think from now we'll go on into, if we have some time here, of course we have time.
Climb on the world, wake up, get off the hoax train, the hoax train, the first stop.
What do you think? I should add a lady co-host to this?
It's not. If you got someone you can base on,
be careful to use lady co-hosts. You know what I need to do? I need to fly to Cornwall.
Train arrives at the station.
Like, yeah, then edging at the bog. Just put a big arrow. Fetch here. You and I ought to do a show together, the Graham Fetcher Show. Let's change it from Fetch, because I don't want to overshadow you. So if I go to Fetcher, it's like, who's Fetcher?
Wake up, get off the hoax train, the hoax train. The next stop is reading a diary.
Is this live? Actually, yes, it is. I'm not listening to this. I'm not listening back to this part. You know, maybe Grissom's going to cut this part out. This wasn't mine. I know they were missing. Yes.
Because it's time for the ITEL Primetime Cat Report, sponsored by Graham Hart and the Graham Hart Show with Breiser. which streams live every Monday on Cornwall Revolution Radio at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and by Graham Hart's song, Hoax Train, where a little historical humor triggers the hoaxsters and anti-Semite-hunters alike. To listen to the Graham Hart Show, visit grism.blogspot.com before showtime for all the listen live and chat room links. And this week, we want to go to the Philippines a little bit. And what happened was our house, you know, our wonderful little house in Jordan that we actually did enjoy and spent a lot of good years in, it finally arrived in the Philippines yesterday. And we had 11 boxes, quite a lot of kilos worth of stuff, pounds worth of stuff. I think each box was like 1.1 or 1.3 meters by 1 meter by like 700 millimeters. It's all in millimeters over here, and you'll have to do the math yourself. But it's less than, let's say, 2 square meters. You know, something like, it's probably like 1.5 cubic meters like this, something like that, cubic feet, 1.5 cubic yards worth of stuff. And so we had a lot of stuff, and it got to the house yesterday. And so, of course, it was opened up. It's like Christmas time, I guess, you know, with all that stuff coming, because we had a lot of stuff. It's just a lot. And the cats, they went crazy. They jumped up, they could sniff it, and they were smelling, and as things came out, they started to roll around, and like some of the blankets or some of the curtains and chairs and whatever else we had in there. The cats were just absolutely in heaven yesterday. They could smell Jordan again. They could smell their old home. So they were having a fantastic time. What a cool story, huh? Literally cats just roaming around in the blankets, man. You know, you put the, take the blankets out because we covered a lot. Everything in blankets to keep things from moving on the ship when it was transported. And so everything was like kind of packed down in blankets, and the cats, of course, would spend time on some of those blankets so they could smell everything. They knew that smell of that house, and they were just having a great, great, great time yesterday. It was so cool. And then yesterday, early before the boxes arrived, I was calling on a video conference type of call back home, and we have this new business, a little salon that we've opened up. And already, guys, and this is the good part about life, I guess. We had one mother cat with two kittens has basically come to our front door at the salon, and basically being who we are, we kind of like fed them a little bit, and now mom brings the kittens every day. And same thing over at my colleague. I was looking for my colleague today. I said, dude, I'm leaving, because I usually pick him up to take him home. I said, come on, let's go. And he's out there petting away, feeds his cat all the time. So see, guys, there's lots of good out there, and we can see it through the world of felines, and that's a great thing. We love our cats. We think cats are the greatest. Dogs, too. Dogs can be great. I'll tell you, in the Philippines, I have room to have a dog. You can never do that in Jordan. Dogs are good, guys. I'm not a dog fan, okay? I am not a dog fan, but nonetheless, cats are just something about cats. I just kind of like cats. What can I say? And they like me. That's the ITEL Cat Report, again, brought to you by the Graham Hart Show with Breiser. Again, that's broadcast every Monday from, Monday from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, I think, Eastern, on grism.blogspot.com. That's right, 5 o'clock Eastern, grism.blogspot.com. That's every Monday, so you want to might check that out. It's a kind of a good show. I think they had Lark from Texas on this week. And, of course, that brings us up to...
Oy vey! Oy gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy vey!
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
How do you run by you?
It don't by you.
Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey moment, we're going to do, first we're going to start off, we're going to go over to Italy. And this story is coming out of the very racist, very bigoted, very evil, and quite frankly, enemy of the American people, CNN. And the big bold headline says, "This Holocaust survivor receives 200 threats a day. Now she needs police protection." And again, to call yourself a Holocaust survivor is an affront to our intelligence at this stage. It is an emotional tug that is offensive. It's intended to be targeted to gain our sympathy. Listen, you know what? The German people, because of you Jews, seriously, because of you Jews today, you know, using the same logic, if I'm born in 1962 and it's now 2019, I'm supposed to care one little tiny bit about some stupid Jew from World War II. Okay? Seriously, think about it. Just logically. Why should I care about some stupid Jew from World War II? And why should I allow this stupid Jew to create all of these rules to make my life difficult because she's an idiot? And she's using fake history to impose herself on the rest of us. Think about that for a second, because that's what she's doing. And I have said, push back, push back, push back. In this case, if the story is true, they are saying she's receiving 200 threats a day. Why is she receiving 200 threats a day? Because she's evil. And she should be threatened, perhaps. Because you can't tell us you're, quote unquote, a Holocaust survivor as if somehow you aren't blaspheming the dead yourself because you're lying about the German people. You're lying about history. You're lying about Western civilization. And here you are, you're being protected by us within our countries, and you're insulting our intelligence. You're insulting our morality. You're insulting our ethics. Everything about this woman is disgusting, because you don't come to me with this line anymore and expect me to have any sympathy for you. Because you are using, as a Jewish community, this entire thing for all your history has been all about, since you brought it to the scene anyways, has been all about imprisoning us in our own countries. I don't have a problem if she's being threatened 200, 500 times a day. I don't. Because she's threatening our entire country. How many people has she threatened? Millions. Tens of millions. Think about it. Tens of millions, and the backlash needs to come. Now listen to the sob story. She's 89 years old. Okay, 45, 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 05, 15, 19. So that's a 74. She's 15 years old or 13 years old when she says she was deported to Auschwitz. Why is it all you freaking idiots from Auschwitz survived? Think about it. How many of you morons survived? Why? Because it wasn't what you claim it was. That's why you survived. That's why every time we hear, oh, from Auschwitz, Auschwitz, you all survived. You know what? Listen, woman. In all of occupied Germany, there were 2.5 million Jews. After the war, there was 2.7 million Jews. Sadly, the other 6 million were lost. That's a fact. So don't bring us your survivor crap. Because I don't want to hear it. Because you survived because you were tucked away in relative safely, while you Jews engineered such a Holocaust against we Americans, the British, the French, and especially the Germans and the Russians. And until Jews start recognizing that they are responsible and culpable for the deaths of 7 to 9 million, 11 million Germans after the war, today's, because they want to hold you culpable right now. Why do you think they keep talking about this crap? Because they want you culpable for things that you have no control over. But these people were alive in the time. They are culpable. Heck, they're putting 92-year-old women in jail, you cowards. Disgusting, filthy cowards is what that really is. 92. And they're witnesses to your bullshit. That's the funny thing. They're all witnesses to your bullshit, and you want us to have sympathy for you. She says, I was 13 when I was deported to Auschwitz. Now she's a senator for life. A complete fraud is a senator for life, and you wonder why our governments are so ridden with fraud, ridden with corruption. When you put idiots like this into for life, senator for life. Now, she says that she's recently become the target of about 200 particularly aggressive social media attacks each day. Somehow I doubt that. But nonetheless, this is being reported by the Milan Foundation. They're all freaking foundations of something. Why? Because they don't work for a living. Their job is to smear your culture, to disrupt your culture, to undermine your culture, and they do it by paying these institutions. And guess what? You pay, because it's all tax deductible. Isn't that great? Jews don't pay taxes. They pay their organizations. And then those organizations work to undermine you and your culture. That's how it works. You ever figure that out yet? She says, every time prominent Jews are at the center of media attention in Italy, they get subjected to online anti-Semitic abuse. Well, first of all, why? You're Jewish. Why are you even in the media? Think about it. Why are you in the media? Seriously. If you're Jewish, you don't need to be in the media. It's Italy. It's Italy, Mom. It's Italy. It's not about you Jews sitting up there like your little GDs on earth with your thunderbolts and you're going to fire them down at people. She says the anti-Semitic insults come from far right circles. No, they're Italian circles. And you're Jewish. You're not Italian. And you're trying to sit there from your little Jewish little privileged position and tell the Italians what to think. What do you think? They're supposed to just sit there and be silent in the face of your corrupt idiocy? Of course not. This is a filthy, disgusting display by this Jewish woman to complain and cry. It's not your country. Shut up. Retire. Get out of business if you don't like it. You're a senator for life. You're literally, if you're a senator for life, you are more than what's the term I'm looking for, guys? Quickly. I sometimes lose my brain. But she's more the case against her. Look, you can criticize her. She's a public figure. Put it that way. Well, I got that one out. She says, now, in this flood of attacks, it's led to an increase in tensions online and offline. The decision to assign Sigre a security detail to Carabinieri, that's police force officers, and it came after far-right Forza Nuova party members put up a banner in Milan. They put up a banner, and you're giving this stupid idiot police protection? Idiots, I swear, idiots. And the part put up a banner anyways. It said, near where Segre was speaking for an event. Oh, so basically, because people are actually saying something back, you're going to go get police protection. Isn't that nice? How about if we had police protection for every time you Jews said we don't have a right to speak? How would that work? Really, how would that work? And you Jews got to pay for it, because we got to pay for your protection. How about you Jews pay for our protection every time you Jews sneeze at something we don't like? Or we do something and then you sneeze because you just don't like it. Now, the motion here for the Segre Commission was approved because what did she do? She basically tried to tell the Italians, you cannot speak anymore. You cannot say anything because basically if you speak, it's going to be anti-Semitic. She basically told the Italians, shut up, sit down. I'm a Jew for life and I'm a senator for life and you're not allowed to speak anymore. That's basically what happened here. And the Italians are saying, screw you. And that's what they should do. Again, push back, push back, push back. You want to assign to a police? Those police should be visited. Salvini called it a Soviet initiative, saying from her thing, yeah, she's a communist. She's a Jewish woman, man. She's a senator for life. She's a communist senator for life. And people get it. People honestly get it. Anyways, we're going into a break. It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, prime time, November the 7th. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, I'm back. A little bit of technical issues there, but we are back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live primetime. Again, well, Thursday for you anyways, early Friday morning, just after 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'll tell you, I just want to address a few things. I was kind of like distracted by what's in the chat room, and I regard everybody there as reasonably good friends of mine as far as supporters and all. And one of the things you're often a criticize of, and I'm going to address this issue about solutions. Look, one solution, push back. What more can be clearer than that? as a solution. You got to start pushing back. What more do you need to say? Look, you got to push back. You have to push back. You can't sit there and just allow these people to keep going. Now, they're mentioning in the chat room, form a nationalist party and bring all of our media together. Guys, it's a nice idea, but you know what? Every single person out there we've invited on the show, they all don't even respond to you. You really think you're going to make something happen like that easily? Knock yourself out. Try. You know what? Try. You know, put something together. Let's see if it works. You can't even get Henrik to get, I call Henrik Palmgren. He doesn't come. We call this guy. They don't come. They don't come. They don't come. Do you realize this show, for whatever reason is probably because we are the most extreme out there. What we do, people don't come. They don't come. So basically, I'm left to basically do an entire show by myself to try to continue to do what we do here. To say that we're not offering solutions is really, that's an unfair statement. It's an unfair statement. What more don't you get? If I tell you to push back, is that not a solution? It is a solution. It is not the solution. It is just part of it. We've talked about nationalism. We've talked about so many things. Man, you know what? Forming a nationalist party, they're out there. Saturday, if it goes properly, I'm going to have the head of the National Socialist Party of Sweden on my show, okay? He's doing what you want to do. But guess what? If you put people like me on, the power out there is so strong that guess what? The Jews are going to come knocking on his door, going after him or going after me. This is how it works nowadays. You know what? Our dissidents out there, they sing a song and they're getting harassed. I just got news from Graham Hart, for instance. He shared with me some of the police letters he's been getting because of his song Hoax Train that I play on this show. Okay? Literally. So it's not like it's that easy. To make a party? Look, I'm an older guy. I'm not interested in that level of activism anymore. I'll be a spokesperson. I will talk. You may not like what I say. You may disagree even with how my strategy is, but guess what? You're going on and saying, hey, do what you want to do. Go ahead. Try it for 8 years. Try to be successful for 8 years. You know what? If you've been following this show, and a lot of you have out there, let's be honest and very clear. This message is so borderline international. It's borderline national. We've had times where we've taken Donald Trump saying exactly what we're saying on this show. Same thing. I like nationalism. I think people should use that word more often. And I'm saying the exact same thing. So again, you have to create critical mass. It takes money, man. It takes a lot of money. You're going to bring $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 to the table to try to start a political party just to get something going? You can't even fund these shows for $1,000 a month. Okay? You can't even fund these shows for heck. You know what? Your donations here, sometimes less than $60, $50, $40 a month. And we're supposed to like quit our jobs, go do everything and go start a party for this? What? You want to just stop the show because you don't like what we're doing here? I think a lot of people are going to disagree with that. You may disagree with this entirely, but I don't care. Quite frankly, I don't care. I don't care. Because you know what? Go do it. Start your nationalist party. Invite me on. I'll help you out. I'll do what I can for you, okay? Okay? I'll do what I can for you. I will do what I can for everybody. Again, the National Socialist Party of Sweden is due here Saturday. Saturday. They're coming, okay? I'm doing what I can. I'm making whatever we can do. I don't like to be told I'm not offering solutions, because in every single show, I give one little tidbit of something you can do. One small tidbit. They're all small tidbits, and one small solution over 8 years adds up to a heck of a lot of stuff that we've done over 8 years. So please be a little bit kind and a little bit fair in this. Don't tell me I'm wallowing. I don't like this type of language. This is not fair. All right. Where were we? Telephone lines. If you want to join the chat room inside the iLive.com, click on the live chat button. Telephones 1-323-275-1314. Again, we have Riyadh events. The Riyadh show is here. It's a big event. You can come. It's easy. Just get an e-visa. You can get it through the Saudi embassy. It's a huge thing. We've got two callers now, two listeners have listened to this show, are actually coming here to partake of this event. They're actually working at the event, and they've asked to meet with me. I'm looking forward to meeting some of our listeners here, and that should be very, very cool. And let me go now to our good friend, Frank. How are you, Frank?
I'm pretty good. I'm not privy to whatever's going on in the chat room, but I really don't have any complaints. I think you're one of the best voices out there, partly because you're so hardcore with the truth, and partly because you're just very unique in your style. And, you know, like, for example, a lot of people don't like David Duke, but, you know, he uses the Jews' own writings and quotes and, you know, against them. So that's pretty much how he does it. You can do that as well, but I like your style even better because you get more creative and you get more nuanced and you really speak from the heart at a gut level from your experiences and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just different. But what would we do? I knew, you know, I'd woken up about the organized jewelry before I found you, but you've been a huge part of my further, education on the subject and given me a lot of confidence to speak. I mean, I can literally go up against anybody. I can debate anybody on the Jewish question.
Exactly.
Whether they just have some disagreement over some little minutia thing, or if they just, you know, are so, you know, pro-Zionist or whatever, I can go up against anybody in a forum where I won't be muffled and I get my chance to rebut everything they say. I can destroy everything they say.
Frank, you've been on some of the biggest stages out there in the media. You know, even I get a kick every time I hear when Alex Jones is talking about you. And let's be honest, even if we don't like him, he's still one of the biggest guys in the media in this business, in this genre. And you held your own, quite frankly, very nicely. And I think Alex Jones knows it. So I support you. He knows it. And he knows you're right, but he just can't go run with the truth all the time in the way that you do it and we do it here. And that's okay. So no problem with all that. No problem.
Well, you know, I think it goes beyond that too, though. I think there's a lot of people in the patriot movement, the nationalist movement, whatever, more so in the patriot movement, the people I'm thinking of that come to mind in my mind now, this is just a vehicle for them. You know, some of them are veterans. They recite the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of their show. They're just frauds to me. They're total fakes. There's a lot of people in this mm-hmm. that are in this just as like a little cottage industry to make money. And I don't want to join forces with those people. I don't want anything to do with those people. They actually weaken us. I don't think that we should all come together. I mean, it's a nice thought. It's a nice idea. Just like these people, you know, kind of the new age stuff where, you know, we're all one. You know, and by the way, Fetch, I don't know if you know, but, you know, have you ever, you know, thought about maybe changing your style a little bit and preaching love? And, I mean, we're all one, aren't we one with the people that like to sadistically abuse children, sacrifice children to Moloch? Aren't we all one with people like Jeffrey Dahmer, serial rapist? People like that, aren't we all one?
Epstein, yes.
I don't buy into any of that. That's a sellout.
Yes.
That's nonsense. I am not all one. We are not all one. Anybody who says that, they've given up, they can't handle reality, or as far as I'm concerned, they're some kind of disinfo agent just trying to confuse people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And to me, most of them are just deluded. They're just in kumbaya land, and there's nothing we can do for that. We're not a kumbaya company. I mean, I don't keep kumbaya company for one, and I'm not a kumbaya guy. So if you want to play kumbaya, there's plenty of outlets for you. It's a bigger market than what I do. But the truth of the matter is, Frank, is that, you know, we are part of that patriot movement, and we do have an audience, and you know we have it. And these guys are very special at what they do, and the last thing any of these guys want to do is draw attention to themselves by joining some party and like, look at me, and now they're self-identified. They're much more effective in the shadows, and people don't grasp that part. Is you need your shadow government just as we have a shadow government, really. You need those people able to operate in the shadows. You can't bring everybody out, and my audience is
that. Exactly the point you're making.
The point here is I'm saying that people
agree with what you just said.
Yeah, people who listen to this show, a lot of the people who listen, not a lot, but a fair amount of people that listen to the show are patriots. I came out of the Oracle days when this was really the heart of the patriot movement, you know? So these are the guys that were part of the militias back in the day that were doing the training, doing the stuff, doing the, you know, training. They were doing the, what do you call it, the survival stuff and getting things ready. This is part of my audience. Militia. Yeah, the militia movements, these were part of my audience. They're not going to go sit there and openly advocate for something because then it's easy to identify themselves.
And I'll take this opportunity to state, I will never harm the hair on any Jew's head, me personally, and I will not advocate that either, except in self-defense in a case where I can believe and can articulate to reasonable people that, hey, I did this because I had no choice. I was backed into a corner. This person was getting ready to take my life or cause me grievous bodily harm. Mm-hmm. You know, this case came up the other day in the news. This guy, I think his name was Hauser, some young, looked like a white guy. Maybe it's legitimate. Maybe, who knows, maybe he's some Jew operative or something. But, you know, he was putting out, you know, quote unquote, anti-Semitic, messages on some social media. Well, he made friends, quote unquote, friends on the internet with two guys. He's never, doesn't know anything about them. Of course, he meets with them and they're like, let's take action. Let's go act against this particular synagogue. He says, sounds good to me. Let's actually do something. And of course, they're FBI agents supplying him with fake bomb making material and everything. And of course, he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, suffering from you know, stuff that he can't even imagine. Yeah. So his life is over. All this is a mute point to him. And just, you know, I just caution any young listeners or anybody who's getting really angry and wanting to take action. I mean, you do have to take action at some point in self-defense, but it doesn't do us any good to go out and take action. It just doesn't. It only helps them. That's another good reason not to
you,
go
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you cannot just
pick some
again.
Target.
No, it's dumb.
People, cause it doesn't,
okay,
it only helps them.
Frank,
they actually like it.
Frank, you've been in the military, so let's leave it at that. Now, what I'll run a scenario, and you just support this, whether it's kind of true or not, based on your knowledge. But when you had snipers out there, I'm talking about the real snipers working for the deeper side of things. You know, they just didn't go snipe people. There was a case built against that person, and then you got to go to the guy that's going to be the shooter, and you got to say, this is really a bad guy. See, he does A, B, C, D, E, F, and boy, look how bad he is. You want to take this assignment type of thing because it's, you know, you're just going to go out and snipe somebody. But there's a case built against them why it's necessary to take them out. You just don't go take people out. I mean, the government doesn't even do that necessarily. They're kind of stupid with their drone strikes, but you know what I mean. A lot of these targeted killings, you got to even convince the snipers to do it. So nobody should be taking action just on their own.
One other quick thing. I was exercising extreme restraint by not calling in because that story really gets me going. The one with these guys, it's great too, by the way. It is excellent. It's okay to be white. Because what you can do is, you can substitute it's okay to be white. Substitute white with it's okay to be black or it's okay to be Jewish. And it's demonstrable the hatred that they have for us. And what it shows, though, what it signifies in the mind of our enemy is, now, wait a minute. This white person is not being totally submissive. And what do I always say? You can get along pretty well with the Jews up to a certain point, just so long as you're willing to go along with everything they say, roll over on your back and be totally submissive. They demand nothing less. And that's what this points out. They are just, I mean, they just cannot stand to see a white person standing up for themselves or for their group.
Yeah, and this is just a snide way to say, I'm not buckling under you, you idiots. I'm just not going to do it. It's okay to be white. What's your problem? And it's ingenious.
Help, but maybe go out and say it's okay. Pass out multiple flyers. Have like three different versions. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be Jewish. And it's okay to be white. Just to demonstrate. Because if somebody was passing out, I mean, we all know what would happen. If somebody said, hey, you know, or it's okay to be black. They're probably not going to do that, but be proud. Say some black group, the Black Panthers, went around distributing flyers and posting them up. Be proud to be black. That would be reported by the media, if at all. It would be reported as a positive thing. Well, look, the blacks are coming together. They're doing something. They're going to come together and act as a group on their own and in behalf of their own interests. Isn't this a positive thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Agreed. We don't even have to get into the Jewish aspect.
Yeah, you don't actually. It's many cases. So, all right, Frank. Well, thanks for chiming in on that. Okay, a little bit of support on that one. Another issue. We're going to kind of get into like house issues today, I guess. It's not bad. It's Thursday night. So hopefully you're enjoying the show. Another issue is, hey, aren't you frustrated that there are no political parties rising up to take out Jews? Well, first of all, I don't see that as not happening already. I see movements against Jewish people that I never saw 10 years ago. I've been in doing this for so long. Guys, in 2005, if I gave just a tiny, tiny, tiny little hint that I might be making a snide comment about Jewish people, I would have 15, 20, 30 people just pouncing on me as if somehow I'm the worst thing to ever happen, and I would find myself within a day being deleted. Okay? And this happened time and time again at major, major forums across the internet. Some of the first and the earliest and the largest forums. I only worked on the largest ones. All the time this happened. Nowadays, it's everywhere. You talk about nationalist parties. Look, first of all, America is late to the party. The Italians are already starting to get it. You have the Salvini's party is already starting to work. Hungary, Orban is doing fine. The Poles are doing fine. The Russians kind of get it, but they got their Jewish problems. Russia's always been a Jewish nation for, the last 100 years. So it's not that easy. But they did purge 1.7 million Jews back in the 1990s. They all came, unfortunately, to either America or Israel. You do have the AfD. It's small. It's small, but 28% up in Germany. So to say we don't see some progress, we don't see any progress in America. But guess what? We do see some progress. We do see some progress. It's still a major problem, but we see some progress. Nowadays, the Jewish media is on the run. You can say what you want, but they're on the run. How many Jews have we seen being purged out there? Actually, quite a lot. Now, ultimately, where's it got to get to? Yeah, it's got to get to the Federal Reserve. But do you really think that monster is easy to crack? It's not like you're just going to make a party and just banish the Federal Reserve. Yeah, that's what needs to happen ultimately. I'm not going to disagree with that. But you're nowhere near that level. We have Ron Paul talking about the Federal Reserve is a problem. You have President Trump saying the Federal Reserve is a problem. So people are talking about it. You didn't have this for the last 30, 40 years. Last person to talk about that I know of was JFK. And they killed him. Depending on who you believe, that was a false flag too. Everything's a false flag nowadays. So it's not like things aren't happening, guys. The war on the pedophile industry, it's real. It is actually real. You know, may not believe it, but it's real. I trust it's real. I've seen some of these videos coming out. I've seen some of the talks within the Justice Department. I've seen some of the prep meetings going on inside the Justice Department. There is a faction that's working. It's real. And guess what? A lot of these guys are Jews, man. They're being taken out. Where do they go? They go back to Israel. Now, ultimately, do we have to get up to the federal? Sure, but just come on. Start picking your battles smart. A nationalist party in America, it's not going to work. With all due respect, it's not going to work. The money it would take to make something like that happen in America is phenomenal. Guys, we have 50 some odd political parties in America. It's not like we don't have political parties in America. We do. We have 50. We have 50 or more. Maybe check your numbers. It's a lot. It's not small. But you have a situation where the Jewish money block is so darn well funded, they can come in and buy up whole communities. Listen to Blackbird 9 if you want to understand some of the strategy and tactics that they're doing. This is a serious, deadly game against the West. It's a deadly game. And guess what? You need a ton of people that are understanding what is happening and knowledgeable, and that's called critical mass. We don't have it. Trump has his critical mass, but guess what? They're not our critical mass. Trump's already told us you don't have a seat at the table, even though the internet warriors helped put him into power. But they don't believe that. They don't really think that the internet players were that big a deal. And sure enough, you keep losing states. Well, that's because you probably isolated half of us and we can't work for you even if we wanted to. And that's really true. So, hey, what can I do? You know what? What can I do? I've fought the battles in ways most people can't. Yeah, what, I'm supposed to give up the rest of what I have left to go start a nationalist party? I can't. I don't have that time, with all due respect. This is a younger man's fight. You need the thinkers, you need the strategists, you need the voices. But others are going to have to come along and do that. And they're not going to be able to do that if you don't prepare the ground to have the political space. And I've always said from day one, this show is about political space, creating the envelope in such a way, message-wise, that we can create a political space so that more and more people can start to fill up more and more space. We've always said that about this show. Not every day, of course, but over the years. This show is about space, creating the political space so that people can come in and work. I don't care about being a leader, even if I like to think I'm leading in a vocal sense. Others are going to come along that do a much better job than us. But we have to keep working. Are we giving solutions? Absolutely. The last 3-4 weeks, we've said time and time again, push back, push back, push back. Guess what? You see Tucker Carlson pushing back. Is he listening to my show? I doubt it. But guess what? It's on the national stage. What do you want me to do? I'm giving ideas that work all the way up to the national stage now. We're very focused on this little thing. We give what we can in the time that we have. Seriously, we don't have all day. We got to work. We don't have thousands of dollars in donations coming in, and this is all I can do. Okay, so it is what it is. So I would say just kind of back off a bit. Understand we do a good job with what we do. To make it sound like I'm supposed to be some great guru, no, this isn't what I'm about. This isn't what we're about here. Go seek that elsewhere. Go ahead and try to go up into Canada and find a nationalist leader up in Canada. Canada's not my game. I'm American. What can I do for you in Canada? Nothing. What can I do for you in Germany? I'm a Holocaust denier. They'd probably arrest me on the spot if they actually understood what I'm doing. Okay? It's so bad in the UK now that they can arrest me up in the UK and they don't even have anti-Semitism laws per se that you can, but you know what? It's that bad. Jews are running as fast as they can to imprison people with voices now. Who knows how many political prisoners are really out there? How many people are suffering? I mean, we know that a lot of people do because we've seen so many people lose their job under this cancel culture. Cancel culture has become a thing, but it's all been part of the quote unquote the ban town that I was dealing with in 2005. Thanks to guess who? People like Anglin, people like Weave over at the Daily Stormer. Same thing. It's the same culture. It just they took their culture and made it mainstream. Oh, it's a good idea. You can ban people? Oh, great. Let's do it. Nice job. Thank you. Okay, guys. Going into a break. I'm out of breath, man. That was a good rant. I'm out of breath. We're going to come back with the final half hour right after this. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Prime time. Back with more right after this. Okay. Welcome back. I'm still out of breath, but we're doing good, man. Anyways, I'm doing good. Actually, overall, I'm actually doing very well. I'm not too upset, guys. Actually, just taking it in stride. I hear everybody's frustrations, and yes, it's it can be frustrating because we are dealing with something for a lot of years, and it's not like, come on, man. Henry Ford, okay? He was talking about this, 100 years ago almost. Nearly 100 years ago, he actually was powerful enough to write a book called The International Jew. He put it into every single car he sold, okay? Every single car he sold. And this is one of America's richest and most powerful industrialists. And he was eventually forced into basically some type of semi-cowardly position of having to apologize. And some say he never really apologized. But guys, it's not an easy task. You're dealing with something that is global in nature, something that is exceedingly evil beyond most imagination and transdimensional. And one thing about the UK that I found fascinating, if you go through the UK, especially the BBC, and if you're from the UK, you can call in and let me know if I'm right on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. If you go back through the BBC, a lot of their archives, what you're going to find is that so much of their programming is built around a Jewish point of view. It's always got to include some type of Jewish angle. And they've been doing this for 60 years, man. I've seen this going back to stuff way back when it was first being recorded. Who knows, the 1940s, 1950s, 60s, whatever it was. They are literally always having everything subtly put from a Jewish point of view. There's always going to be something about it where Jews get their input on this. And now there's like they just ran something, same old nonsense. You know, there's a Jewish woman saying, you know, all of this stuff about anti-Semitism and labor, it's all weaponized. I'm still going to be voting for labor, etc. But at the end of the day, it's still a Jewish perspective. It's not your perspective. Here's another solution. Here's another idea. Start telling people straight up, look, you're Jewish. Your perspective doesn't matter to me. I want to hear our perspectives. And be prepared, like a Frank, to talk. Especially if they give you, you know, if you're going to make a demand, you better be prepared. But we have to get to the point where you have the power and the guts to say, look, this is a Jewish perspective. You don't represent me. This isn't my world. You're not talking about me on a political sense. You're addressing your Jewish audience. Let people boo you, hiss, etc. It's okay. Because if you get some publicity out of it, it's okay. But let it start to take hold that, look, if it's a Jewish point of view and if it doesn't represent you, you don't have to say, oh, because they're a Jew, I'm afraid. No, they don't represent you, man. Speak up for yourself. You're an adult. These are a bunch of punks. Most Jewish people out there in the political spectrum selling this anti-Semitism bullshit, they're a bunch of punks. Bottom line, they're punks. They're just a bunch of bully punks. And that's the truth. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. They're just punks. They're just bullying you into doing whatever they want because it's all for them about power. They want power over you. They want power over your children. They want power over your community. And ultimately, they want power over the nation. And guess what? They want power over the entire world because they're serving an evil that wants this entire planet for itself. It wants to destroy everything that is good and beautiful in this world. And that's just the nature of what's happening. And start to deal with it and push back. Power exceeds nothing without a demand, as the old statement goes. Now, how many of you have felt threatened? And when I say felt threatened, I'm saying you're afraid to speak up. How many of you really, when you go out into your jobs or you go home to the wife or the husband or the family, the mother, the daughters, the kids, the sisters, how many of you have been felt? How many of you have ever felt threatened to speak openly about things you know to be true about what is happening on this planet? How many? I bet you a lot of you. Well, I kind of have a story about that, but we do have a call coming in, 608 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the iLive.
Hi, it's Murr. You have a story? I was dialing, so I didn't hear.
Well, I was just getting started. Well, just be quick, and I'll get right back to the story, because we're in the final half hour.
Okay. Henry Ford said it himself, and he had no regrets. Okay, Harry Bennett signed it, forged.
Yes, I know that. Yeah, I knew, but I didn't have the source. I just kind of.
And he wanted to republish it and put it in cars again. There was no regret. But they're doing just like they do now to everyone.
Correct, correct. It's not that easy. And he was like super powerful compared to us. I mean, for us, if you lose your job, you lose everything.
Oh, he had that peace ship and he had all these, you know, big businessmen out there and they're all Jews and they're saying, we want war, we'll have war. And what do they have? They have their political cartoons about this little raft that was a peace ship. And what do we have now? We're not even allowed political cartoons. I miss the ugly truth with the big old cartoon with a globe and the and and the Jew with the claws on it.
Yeah. Exactly. Stuff. Even a lot of our people are being put out of business. You know, all it does is they just take down your whole DNS, they take down your account, and you're out of business. I mean, come on. It's not that easy.
Yeah, any kind of business. Yeah, they ruin you financially. What does BB9 say, Blackbird? There's five of them. They bully, bribe, bankrupt, banish, and bury.
There you go. I think he'll be proud of you. You got all the B's down because I don't know all the B's.
I'm counting them on my fingers. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. That's Murray, everybody. So going back to what we're saying, again, phone number, if you would like to call in, it's still going to be open, 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. The point here is that, look, how many of you really feel frightened? Seriously, how many of you feel frightened? And I had someone call me the other day. He said, Fetch, man, I'm all in on the Jewish thing. I get the JQ. I get the problem. But I just can't raise it up in my house. My wife's going to kill me. I hear the same thing. Heck, if I go home to America and I were to talk to my sister, she's not going to kill me. She does respect me, but she's going to think I'm going to hell because I don't treat Jews as the chosen ones. She said, you know, Dennis, you're going to hell, man. You're going to hell. You know, they're God's chosen. They're going to come and smite you. I said, yeah, they're going to smite me, not God, because they're evil. They're evil. They don't like the fact that I raise issues. That's what's going to happen, I would tell my sister. And she's, no, you can't be saying that. But that's the truth. So the point is, how many of you feel afraid? And I'm sure a lot of you do. A lot of you feel intimidated. And there's nothing wrong with that because we know that we are fighting a great evil. And then there's articles coming from the Jewish community. If you feel your eyes watching the exit during Shabbat services, if you see danger lurking at Jewish celebrations and events, if you felt the metallic cold of a Magen David as you tuck it into your shirt, just in case, you're not alone. Okay, now let's assume for a second that this story is true. Jews are saying they're afraid to wear the Star of David outside on their chest. Okay, well, that's a positive development, isn't it? I would find it that. For me, the Star of David should be outlawed. It's a hate symbol. It should have, at worst, or at best, the same power that Jews want to attribute to the swastika. Anybody flying a Star of David should be denied the ability to work. Everybody that proudly displays the Star of David should not they should just be destroyed. And you're saying, Fetch, that's extreme. No, it's Jewish. You can't call what's Jewish extreme, okay? It's Jewish. Unless, of course, you want to admit that Jews are extremists, because they are. They are. That's reality. They're extremists. You're going to bankrupt somebody because you didn't like what they said, and you're going to tell me that's not extreme? You're going to try to deny somebody from working because they might have had a swastika tattoo, or they're vegan, or they're not vegan, they're Indian, Vedic, and they have a swastika from the Veda, and you're going to destroy their life because that? You're going to tell me Jews aren't extremists? Are you kidding me? Then why aren't you afraid? Or why are you afraid if they're not extremists? There was a recent poll of American Jews, and it was put out again by the American Jewish community. Nearly a third of more than 1,200 respondents said they avoided publicly wearing, carrying, or displaying things that might help people identify them as Jewish. Are they doing that out of fear, or are they doing that because they're screwing the American people and they don't want people to know that they're Jews and they're screwing the people and they're Jews? This is something to take out of this poll. Someone says we wanted to hear the stories behind these numbers. So we asked some of these Jews to write and describe when and why they avoid places or public displays in which they might exhibit their Jewishness. And many mentioned removing or concealing their kippot. Well, yeah, you walk around like an idiot. Okay, look, it's not Halloween every day, guys. And you should treat them like that. Look, dude, it's not Halloween. Start to integrate, assimilate. Diversity is our strength. But you know what? You're offensive. Take it off. We cannot have offensive symbols. Your kippot is an offensive symbol to me. It must be removed. now. Otherwise, you hate me, and I have a right to defend myself from your hatred. Welcome to the logic of a Jew, man. That's basically what they're doing to you. That type of stupidity that I just displayed is typical Jewish behavior. So others expressed particular fear for children, elderly people, and ultra-Orthodox Jews. Well, okay, but why is it everybody's afraid of you in the Jewish community? Why is it we're afraid to speak up and out against the Jew? See, so it should be a two-way street. Since Jews are making it dangerous for everybody to operate in your own countries, should not the karma, the backlash, come back upon them? Absolutely it should. They should not be able to have a job if you can't have a job. They should not be able to fund and get funding if you can't get funding. Everything that Jews are doing to us today is now justified to be returned back to Jews tomorrow. The idea that Jews are railroaded out of the country or out of their jobs, what is wrong with that when Jews have said this is a valid tactic in order to advance our Jewish interests? And if you want to threaten and bully people ultimately because you have power, is it not already a justified strategy? Because Jews have normalized bullying people into submission. See, they rose to power because they weren't bullied. They rose to power because there was tolerance of their intolerance. And that's really the great lesson here. America fell partially because it lost its way morally, spiritually, but it lost its way morally and spiritually because ultimately people were afraid to protect their values, to protect their way of life in the face of a great evil. Some of them, the evangelicals for sure, they actually curried favor with this great evil. And now they help run the country from their evangelical bases down in the South. Some guy in Eugene, Oregon writes, I want to be more visible as a way of showing that hate won't keep me from being proud of my heritage. Well, you know what? I'm proud of my heritage. And you're telling me I can't even tell you it's okay to be white. And you want us to think that somehow we're the ones who hate? And you're telling us, you're not supposed to be afraid. Well, why are we supposed to be afraid ultimately then? Why should we be afraid in the face of this great, disgusting evil from the Jewish community here? And you can't argue that it's not disgusting. Tell me, what, you want to go punish the people? It's disgusting to say it's okay to be white. Are you okay? Did you just come off of some medieval, sadistic, purge of a bunch of witches or what, dude? Are you still, your brain cells are still like 500 years old and you're in a medieval system here? Sorry. Are you like 2,500 years old still living in the Torah? Is that what, bow backwards you are? And watch them fume like a bunch of raving monkeys. Seriously. Guy says here, I put up a sukkah yesterday in front of my Squirrel Hill house. Explains a 57-year-old from Pittsburgh, and for the first time ever, I wondered if it was wise to put it in the front where it's always been. Well, you should wonder, because you know what? If we do things that we're proud of, you Jews will do whatever you can to destroy us. So why should you in the Jewish community feel that you have a right to express yourself? You have created a culture. The Jewish community has created a culture of absolute intolerance of everything. They've created this culture, not us. Come on, you're a 90% white country at one time in this nation. We're hearing Miss Obama. Yeah, Miss Obama, whatever. Michelle Obama, Michael Obama, right? Talking about how, you white people, you've been running from us for a long time and you're still trying to run away now. Well, first of all, you're a transgender guy, pretend to be a man, and we don't want to be around that, dude. Furthermore, your policies suck, you're violent, you're offensive, your downright deception, your deception is disgusting. I mean, come on. You're selling yourself as a woman and you're a man. And you wonder why. And what you don't tell people is you don't talk about the problems in the black community. You don't talk about how the kids who show up at a black school or a largely black school. And there's a true story here. It was basically told by a teacher. He watched this kid, white kid, just came to the school. And he was sitting down for lunch. And a black kid comes over and puts a handkerchief on the railing, you know, puts like a walkway railing near the table and tells the white kid, hey, pick up this handkerchief, white boy, and shine my shoe. And all the black kids around him giggling. The white kid just kind of looked at him like he's an idiot because he is. And he just kept eating. He said, you know what? If you don't shine my shoe, when that bell rings at 1:30 and we go home, I'm going to kick your you know what. Sure enough, at 1 o'clock, 1:30 came rolling around. The black kid that did just that came over and punched the guy right in the face, sucker punched him. The white guy had some training in martial arts, was able to actually beat the black kid up. But guess what? You can't take on 15 black kids. Michelle Michael Obama doesn't talk about those things when we say the white guys are running away. And you know what? If we were really a supremacist country, a real supremacist country, Ms. Obama, Mr. Michael Obama, those black kids would have been executed. They would have been executed. They would have been hunted down like dogs. That's what a real supremacist country would do, because nobody's going to tolerate this type of behavior happening to their kids. So don't lecture us about how we're so supremacist here. We want to be left alone, but we've learned, you people in the LGBT community, the Jewish community, the global homo agenda community, none of you want to leave the white European race alone. You want to sit there and predate like little suckers on them. What about all these really smart white, really smart black people in America? Guys, you're African, man. You're kind of smart. You got a country in Africa that's basically virgin. All these resources you can go down and exploit. You can do all this business, but you don't want to leave white man country. You won't go down and just try to make money down in Africa in a good, ethical, smart way. Why is that? Because of your own failures is what we would say, because you want to stay within the white community. You don't want to go. You're a coward. You don't want to go like us white people off into foreign lands and try to make things happen. No, you want to work off of our efforts. That's the truth. But nobody wants to say that. Michelle, Michael Obama doesn't, she wants to say, oh, you're still running from us. But she doesn't talk about the massive black on white violence. The sheer thuggery. The fact that these black kids don't even want to learn to a big degree. They don't even want to learn. Do you rise right now in South Africa under great black rule, guys? The majority, like 60 to 80% of black kids age 9 and 10 can't even read a sentence in any language, any language. Yeah, Michael Obama, we're supposed to hang around these types of people and we're really going to be able to raise ourselves up. Because the thing about the LGBT community, the Jewish community, they believe again in Sukkos. Sukkos is this idea of bringing everybody down to the same level of stupidity from which now Jews can actually pretend they're smart. See, Jews aren't so smart, they're vicious. Now, if you want to call vicious smart, okay. Now, unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, the society has not been vicious towards Jews since what, 1932? Something like that. And so, you know, what great nations like Germany tried to accomplish, we're supposed to accomplish here is just some type of two-bit radio host coming from Riyadh? I don't think so. I don't think so, with all due respect. I would like to think so, but I don't think so. I can't do it. And some of the greatest minds in the world have been talking about the Jewish question and the Jewish problem going all the way back for 2,000 years. Thousands of years, guys. They were talking about these people in the Roman Empire. So all of this is real, live. It's going on. It's not easy to solve. But one thing for sure, you have to take action. Some action. Political, activists, saboteur, whatever it is, there has to be some action. But understand you're up against a great evil. And this great evil is dangerous. Look at what happened to Greg Johnson. He just shows up to Norway, man. Finds himself on a VIP plane back. Of course, he was kind of funny. He said, if you want to get deported, Norway's pretty cool. You get, you know, basically driven up in a limousine to the plane. You bypass all security. They just kind of like put you on the plane. You're first off the plane. It's kind of a nice way to travel. You know, kind of cool. So got to watch what's going on. So, you know, you have situations now where Jewish people are saying they're afraid to express their Judaism or their Jewishness. Well, okay, I don't mind. So in this particular survey, one guy says he's consciously stopped wearing his Star of David. Well, why is that a bad thing for us? I don't see how that could be a bad thing for us. It's actually a good thing. It's evil. Everything about the Star of David is a hex, and a hex is an evil symbol. I know that's childish sounding, but there's some value in there. Somebody else says here, based on his prior experiences, I would never wear a kippah alone while going in New York City. And you know what's happening in New York City right now? Blacks are literally pummeling Jews in Brooklyn, and nobody's talking about it. Jews are so afraid of getting their precious little narrative destroyed that the white guy's the bad guy. They're not talking about all the black violence, even on Jews in Brooklyn. That's how stupid these people are. Eventually, everything they do fails. Eventually. Everything fails. That's why they wander. They go from country to country to country because they're failures. And stop playing them up as being these great geniuses. They always fail. Their country, not yours, their country is $23 trillion in debt. America just surpassed the $23 trillion debt line. And since debt is only incurred, or let's just say money is only incurred when debt is created, who is owed the $23 trillion? It's not owed to you. It's not owed to your grandfather. It's not owed to your mother. Who is that debt owed to? And then you see who runs the country. And their country that they've managed is $23 trillion in debt. Oh, Jews are so good. No, they're not good with money. They steal it. They kill people and steal the wealth, if like in Soviet Union, in the Soviet Union. They're not super smart. You know what I mean? You're $23 trillion in debt. You lost so much money in the banking crisis in 2008, you had to come crying and begging because, oh, the economy's going to shut down. Well, we should have let it shut down, and we should have arrested every single Jewish person right then and there. But nobody did it. They allowed the Jews to just run away, and everyone's afraid of martial law and all this. Well, you know what? At this stage, Jews are the enemy of our nations. What your whole banking system fails, your banking system, and you want us to bail you out, and you don't want anybody to be responsible for this? Nobody's been tried. At least during the savings and loan debacle in the 1980s, we had sent like 117, 120 bankers to jail. Nobody went to jail here. They just continued to rob the country blind. And guess what? They bought up all the real estate, pennies on the dollar. Then they bring in all these migrants coming in. They give them money, and that money goes to rent, which goes right back to them. What a great deal they're getting. See, we Jews are so smart, but they're destroying the country. And then they're angry because, oh, anti-Semitism is on the rise. Well, you know what? It's our country too. And quite frankly, it was our country to begin with. You stole it. You lied to us. You told us lies throughout your entire history. You've been involving us in wars since before the Civil War. You've been involving Europe in wars since the 1800s with your quote unquote, your banking power and your banking acumen. Boy, you brought Europe into so many wars. Don't talk to us about Holocausts and genocides, because what you as the Jewish community have done to Europe and European people is on a magnitude of 100 times what you claim. It's actually probably about 1,000 times what you claim we've done to you. In fact, what you claim in the Jewish community never happened. And you're so paranoid, so disgusting, so filthy with the way you treat people. You will jail people where you can because they don't believe your bullshit. Isn't that amazing? That's how sick and depraved that culture really is. And if you don't tell me, look, if guys, all of you that are my detractors out there, if you come to me and you say, you know what, Dennis, the earth is flat. And I think you're absolutely insane. I think, no, it's a globe, it's a globe, it's a globe. And because you don't believe me, I'm going to jail you. How cool am I? I just became Jewish. Because that's how they the whole thing. It's the Fetch, everybody. Thanks for listening. Time for me to get some sleep. It's in the morning. I'll be back Saturday inside the Eye Live. 10 o'clock a.m. We should have Simon Lindbergh of the National Socialist Party up there, Nordic Resistance Movement. See you then. Good night.